shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Yeah.
What's happening, everybody?
Monday night. You know, start of the week, beginning of the week, maybe it's the end of the week for a lot of you. I know it's the end of the week for me. It's my day off, is what it is. Day off for the week. But more importantly, Monday night means Plum Low Foods Live. That's right here, live on Spreaker Radio. Everywhere else you find your stuff, of course, and maybe you're listening to the show the next day. Maybe it's a Tuesday you're checking the program out. Maybe it's a Wednesday after you download the program on all them places you can get it, such as TuneIn, such as Apple, such as, well, you know, all the places you can get your downloads. That's where this program comes from. So we really appreciate it. Thank you very much, the love that's been shown for this program over the past few weeks is absolutely unbelievable. I'm so humbled by it. There you go. That's why I'm playing humble. There you go. Humbled by it, and I'm so thankful for it. It's one of my favorite things to do here on a Monday night. So thank you guys all for checking the program out, man. It's going to be a great show tonight. We have Guy the Butcher on. Guy the Butcher is the freaking man. This dude, let me tell you what, one of the kings of Wagyu. What a great dude. I'm just so happy he's going to be here. I can't wait to talk to him about beef. We're going to take some questions. Should be a lot of fun. I think he's actually bringing a guest in, too, which is going to be awesome. Because Guy, he's one of those dudes that, what were we saying? He likes to brother it up, man. That's what he likes to do. But I'm not by myself tonight. No, no, no. And it's something I'm going to play with here a little bit as we get used to the program. I'm not flying solo. No, no. I have the one, the only Chef Jeff Perazzi from JK Chef Collection joining me tonight. Jeff, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Excellent, Plum. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Well, thanks for making the introduction to Guy with me, man. Guy is... I've just fallen in love with this dude. I talked to him like 6 times today, and we talked yesterday, and he is... He's a good brother. How about that?
Yeah, brother.
He's a good brother. That's right. I love him, man. And he's almost like the ninja of Wagyu beef.
Well, yeah. He's I don't know if you call himself a ninja, but he's definitely... one of the guys that opened my eyes to just how many different styles of Wagyu there are that are coming over from Japan, and you know what's coming over, and they're doing some really cool stuff with it. I kind of just met him kind of the same way I introduced you. I just reached out to him on Instagram and was just like, hey man, I love your stuff. Like, how do I get some of this beef? And he just made it happen. Like within a week, he was like, you know, putting me in contact with the right people, and you know, it's been awesome. He's just a really cool guy.
Yeah, and that's what's the cool thing about it, man. He's on the same page as kind of you and I are, and just guys from our generation of culinary people and cooks and stuff. He just wants everybody to kind of get the best stuff and be good to each other.
Absolutely,
you know? That's him.
Absolutely, he's a gangster, and he's like old school, and he's like a chef.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. Well, so we're stoked to talk to him, and I guess you'll hang out for a little bit and talk to Guy, right?
I would love to.
Yeah, hell yeah. But you know, listen. Yeah, brother, let me tell you. Listen, we're going to be brothering up right here tonight with a bunch of good brothers. That's what we're doing.
Well, yeah.
I can't wait. Well, listen, you know, you're a private chef and a raconteur yourself, man, and the season has started. We are in the middle of it, the heat of it. How's it been for you so far?
Actually, it's been great. You know, I've it's been really busy, and you know, zero complaints. Just head down, making it all happen.
Yeah, that's basically what you have to do, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm just so, I mean, as a chef, I just get really excited this time of year. Food just starts coming in fresher and greater. You know, I mean, you're out here on the east end of Long Island, where it's some of the farms are just some of the best farms. The guys really care. It's just awesome. So,
dude, well, I love it, and it's one of those things I've kind of fallen in love with doing, to be honest with you. And I just spent the past like 10 or 12 days straight out there, and but it's a season. That's what we do. That's kind of one of the interesting things that, you know, I think even restaurants have their kind of busy season right now, and it's busy, but I think for us as private chefs, it's a little bit different story. I mean, we go out there and, you know, you kind of don't know what you're walking into every day.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you kind of, you get like a rough outline, but that can change on a dime, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're catering to one family or one group's needs, so
Yeah.
Those needs can change. I mean, you know, you have a family. You know that.
Well, it's just one of those things, I think, where it feels like, I don't know, it's like we love our jobs because they're great jobs, we do amazing things, but then we get to a point where it's probably harder than being in a restaurant, I think, is what I'm trying to say, without sounding like a jerk, you know?
Well, you know, I think it's harder in different ways than a restaurant is. You know, I think the restaurant's hard because it's the grind, right? You know, it's just like really, really hammering on your body and long hours and repetition and, you know, nailing the dish the same way over and over and over and over. With private chefing, it's like, excuse me, you know, staying creative, yeah, and also nailing dishes that maybe you came up with on the fly that they're like, oh, remember this one, I love this, and then they'll come back to it and you'll be like, oh god, you know, like
yeah, you know, I think the other part of it too is that not having to have that whole, you know, front of the house kind of thing mentality, like you're in the kitchen, you can, when you're in the restaurant, you're kind of hidden back there a little bit, where I mean, maybe not everybody, but some people are, and you know, with what we do, we're front and center all the time because most of the time people are in the kitchen hanging with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the kitchen is the hub of almost every house. So, you know, between other staff members and your clients' guests and deliveries and everything kind of flows through the kitchen.
Yeah, 100% you know, about that.
You sort of become the hub for everything. They ask you things. I joke, I call one of the housekeepers the Great Oracle because she's like, if I don't know, I have to go, hold on, I must consult the Great Oracle.
There you go. I just gave you the ding sound for the Great Oracle. There you go. How about that?
I love it.
So, you know, it's great, man. It's busy season. It's what we do. I mean, Mondays. Are you work today or no?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I was at the beach. I did some grilling, hanging out with my family. I have some family from upstate down. It was great. Great.
Nice, man.
A little sunburn. Feeling really good.
Good, man. Good. Well, it should be a great time tonight talking to Guy, and I appreciate you jumping on here with me and hanging out. And
absolutely, you know, man. I was excited to do it.
Just stick around as long as you want, or if you don't want to, whatever. I get it. I totally understand. But if everyone's in bed and calling a night at your house, then hang out with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm drinking wine, though. Is that bad?
No, I'm having a Montauk Wave Chaser Indian Pale Ale.
Great IPA right there. Not too hoppy. I love it.
Yeah, it's I'm a big hop fan. Like, I like really hoppy IPAs.
But you just say hop twice like that?
Yeah, because I like them double hopped.
Ah, like a bunny.
Yeah, but no, it's a delicious beer and it's super drinkable, and I think it's a really approachable IPA for people who haven't had an IPA before. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm trying to get those guys on the show here. I think I'm going to do an episode live from the brewery here soon. Those guys are some of my favorite people.
They're awesome. That guy Vaughn, you know, when I hung out with you and Rob there that day, he's just, what a gentleman and what a great guy. And I mean, what a great operation he's got. You know, he's just so
killing
cool.
It.
Yeah, and his beer is delicious. I mean, he had so many different kinds that I never even heard of, you know, until you go to the tasting room, the tap room there, and see what's really got going on. It's you know, it's crazy.
Well, the best part is somehow he's managed to make a brewery, dude, that attracts a bunch of women. I don't understand it, but it does. And you look at Vaughn, one of the owners there, you look at him. How
handsome.
Yeah, like he drinks beer all day long. How is he that thin? It makes me so mad. I kind of hate him for that.
I don't know. He does CrossFit and shit. They have like an event there called like Bells and Brews or something like that, where it's like, you know, it's like what are those things called? Dumbbells, not dumbbells. What are the things called?
Oh, the kettlebells.
Kettlebell. They do like kettlebells and drink beers or something. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, you could tell clearly how much you and I do kettlebell work, right?
I don't do a lot of kettlebell work. I need to be more active. My doctor told me you got to be more active.
Yeah, my wife told me I need to go to the doctor.
Activity. It wasn't being active.
Well, my wife told me I just need to go to the doctor. That's a whole other story to itself. Well, check it out. We're going to get Guy on the horn here. Thanks for hanging out with myself. Big shout out to Jeff Barazzi hanging out with us tonight, too. We're going to play a Wu-Tang song here in a second while we round up Guy, and I think Guy's got a special guest for us too. I think they're really bringing like the Jedis of Wagyu beef. I'm excited to have this conversation with these guys. It's going to be like sitting under the learning tree,
dude. I'm telling you, I my mind was so blown talking to Justin, and I hope that's who he's bringing on, because he just I mean, we had probably an hour conversation about beef and different textures and types, and I mean, it's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's perfect for this show, because that's all we do here on this program is talk about things like that. And so I'm looking forward to having a great long beefy conversation with my friends Jeff, my friend Guy, and Guy's guest. It should be a lot of fun tonight, man. So check it out. If you guys haven't done so, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We do the show for free for you once a week. You get some great content, and you never know, after the summer, it might be coming more than once a week. We'll see. We're working on some pretty fun things for it, and having to bring some other guys on board. It should be awesome for everybody. But until then, please, the support, like I said, and Jeff, I'm not sure if you've heard, I think I've told you actually offline, but the support for this program in the past month or so is just through the freaking roof. It's crazy how many people are just getting down with this. It makes me so happy.
You're doing God's work, my friend.
I'm trying. But so please do throw a rating in there on iTunes. It does great for the algorithm, helps out for a lot of things, and we appreciate it. So stay right there.
Share it with your friends. Share it with other chefs, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we're going to play a great kitchen tune for you right now, Jeff. You don't like the Wu-Tang Clan at all, do you?
You know what?
Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live with Chef Plum and Chef Jeff Peraza. We got Guy Crims coming up. Be right back, guys. Hang tight.
Coke, dope, mixed down with acid on record. Broken down and crafted in seconds. Ladies' choice, the golden boy still peppin'. Better respect it, bitch believe. I pull rabbits out the hat, tricks up my sleeves. I air out the showroom, the shit can breathe. Fix your weave, you know my expertise. I got my Uzi baggy dudes, it's whack, face it, the pool was back. I got my Uzi baggy dudes, it's whack, face it, the pool was back. Take it back to the vehicle, swinging, getting wrecked on points. We in them authentic alley switching joints. General niggas, 5-star. Bombs rock from coke drop. We read 100 niggas' palms. Silencers, garbage bags of hash. For every cop we paid, retired. Now the nigga on smash. Gas, you out your burner fast. I'm sway down, hating me now. Respect, get your fingers off the glass.
I got my Uzi back, you do. Whack face at the woo was back. I got my Uzi back, you do. Whack face at the woo was back.
Yo, what the fuck, yo? Yo, what the fuck y'all coming for? Get the fuck away from my door. We got big guns in here. Coke over there. With blue bag and E-pill stashed under the chin. His boy's hard, black and white pig with the pink lips. Stan thought he was soft till he bit his fingers. This shit had me dying, yo. Big fat nigga bleeding. Big cat nigga all season. On a beast truck, stuck with wine, ice, diamond twice. The whole city thought I bought FUBU. Blew you, authentic doodle. Picture the fork, iced out, 18 carat wrap between noodles.
I got my Uzi back, you do. Black face at the woo was back. I got my Uzi back, you do. Black face at the woo was back.
I'm from Trinity headquarters. From Rips is pulled up. I saw Johnny sipping Henny from an iced out cup.
Yo, with the blood.
Two-way vibrating off the hip. I said, take me, drag off that honey dip. And what you talking? You see my gold fun sparking? Ain't trying to hear what you dogs be barking. Read the headline that was blasted on today's post. Dead King thought he could ace ghosts. Queen, couldn't even jack bump. Probably find them in Doc Doom's back trunk. I'm up in the Wu library, reading Malcolm's, any means necessary.
John, Bacardi straight up, hold the ice. So nice like New York, they had to name him twice. Name your price, I black out and change the lights. Give you the same advice that I gave my wife. Don't fuck with mine, clan give you lumps and nine. Let the smoke cloud clear so the sun can shine. Coach a shot, for some of us that's all we got. Whether you're ball or not, you can all be shot.
New York, legendary rhyme boss, cold name Charlie Horse, bust from blind balls. I smash, set it in wreck, for cash, credit, a check. You crash test, can't measure the threat. I dance on a nigga like my name's Ab Judah. Rap Barracuda, 3XL Kahuna. Sure to get it perking and cause a disturbance. I'm thirsty, feel what I feel, then we can merge then. Creeping through the states in V8s and 12s. My weight's hell, fuck with me, then brace yourself. The noble, Sir I, Mass Mogul. Known to blast vocals and move global on you local.
This is grown man talking, coward, I'll split your head. I'm from the east where the streets run red from the bloodshed. Hit chef for the rice and peas. No respect, father, each time with at ease. My brothers can't wait to squeeze the automatic. They need wreck like a drug dealer need an addict. Floating on a 95, sting like a killer bee. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see.
From dark matter to the big crunch, the vocals came in a bunch without one punch.
rare glimpse from the swiftly advanced, proved unstoppable. Reputation enhanced since the cause was probable. So you compare and contrast, but don't blast through extreme depth with a pen to hold fast. Watch the block thirst for one became all. Shot him with the long forgotten rainfall. Delivered in a brutal fashion with simplicity. The blind couldn't verify the authenticity. The rhyme came from the pressure of heat. Then it was laid out on the ground and paved streets.
I got my Uzi back, you dudes. Black face at the wound was back. I got my Uzi back, you dudes. Black face at the wound was back.
Plum Love Foods Live, coming back at you right now. Dude, one of my favorite Wu-Tang songs on the entire planet right there, Uzi, a.k.a. Pinky Ring. That's such a great tune, man. If you don't like that tune, I just don't think you like Wu-Tang. It's such a great song. God, and I think Wu-Tang definitely goes with the kitchen, man. That's what it does. And for me, one of my favorite stories about Wu-Tang was I was a judge for an event in New Orleans last year, an event called the Farm to Table Chef's Challenge. And a good brother came in to the kitchen carrying a entire pig, and he had it was 6:30 in the morning. He put his black skull cap on, threw his big thick beat headphones. You heard him listening to Wu-Tang, and this good brother took apart the entire pig in what seemed to be, I mean, it felt like it was 10 minutes. It was out of control. So to me, Wu-Tang Clan and killing it, taking apart beef and butchery, go hand in hand. And you couldn't find a better group of guys to talk to right now about that sort of stuff than our friend Guy the Butcher himself is coming on live right now with us. Guy, what's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, it's going wonderful. Thank you so much for having us on the show there, Chef Plum. Really, really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
No doubt, man. Of course.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I know you got a special guest there with you. I was going to let you introduce him.
Sure. This is the world famous Justin Rushlow, the Kobe and Wagyu master from right here in California. Works for Trex. They are an importer of Japanese Wagyu and Kobe beef, and one of the masterminds behind me getting over to Japan and introducing me to this wonderful, honorable product that we have been really, really pumping and doing some magical things out here on the West Coast with. So, Justin Rushlow, right here.
Hey, amazing. How are we doing today?
Good, man. Nice to meet you over the old Skype machine here, brother. I'm excited to talk to you. I can't wait to get some product from you. And, of course, Chef Jeff is here joining us tonight, too. Jeff made the introduction for everybody. Jeff, how did you meet these guys?
Through Instagram. Honestly, I reached out to Guy. He was kind enough to reply to my inquiry about beef and just about his food. Like, you know, I was like, man, you guys are killing it. I want some of this. Help me out. And he was like, no problem. We shot the shit a few times. We hit it off. Obviously, he's like a chef. He's like a brother, you know. And
good brother.
Yeah, and yeah, he put us right onto it. And he introduced me to Justin. And then, you know, my schedule's pretty shitty, so we played phone tag for a minute. But we finally cooked up, and you know, we talked shop for over an hour. Just so much. There's so much information to digest that I wasn't even aware of. You know, I mean, when you think of, Wagyu or Kobe, I guess I just thought there was like, you know, A5 or whatever. I didn't realize that there was, I'll let them explain it to you, but it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's one of the things I want to get into too. But before we do, like I said, I just want to get through the introduction so everybody knows who's who. And Guy, of course, butcher extraordinaire. Guy, tell them a little bit about what you do out in San Francisco and just, you know, all over the West Coast.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm 48 years old this year. I've been in the business since I was 14, so started, you know, cleaning the bathrooms and mopping the floors like I still clean the bathrooms and mop the floors for all you young fuckers out there who think you're too good to do that shit.
Freaking men.
So just remember what it's all about. It's not about your ego. It's about just getting shit done.
Hey, listen. Anyway. Hey, listen. I think Guy just inspired me, everybody. I think I want to make – I've been thinking about getting Plum Love Foods Live shirts made because I've been doing this show for 4 years now. But maybe the shirt's going to say, Plum Love Foods Live, we still mop floors.
That's the shit right there, 1,000%, you know? Because I've been – you know, I talk to kids all day long, and they want to be, you know, top dog, top chef, top butcher, top this. And I'm like, there is no top. We learn every single day, including me. And every day, you know? So nobody's a master. Nobody's a master. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, I've been in the business, like I said, since 1984. I love doing it every single day. My favorite thing is just to serve the guest, the customer, educate them. Now that everybody, and I mean this and kind of coming out of both sides of my mouth, but everybody's a Google scholar now. And yeah. There's a lot of questions about proteins and meats and where things come from. And with these magical little phones that we have in front of us, we have maybe a little too much information at our fingertips for so many different subjects. And one of them that a lot of people have been hanging their hats on is the proteins and the foods they buy, which is, it's going in your mouth. Why not?
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is educating those consumers on actually what they are consuming. And you can't be put off by those questions. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to be informed, and you have to be able to give the solid answer for that. And some people are really put off by it when you go into a restaurant, or you go into a butcher shop or a grocery store, or even talk to a produce person or a fishmonger. You know, they'll ask where it's from, and they'll be like, oh yeah, well, it came from Joe's house down the street, and don't worry about it, give me your $25 and get the fuck out of here. You know, where you got to kind of step back a little bit and kind of look at it more like of the people that, and I know we could go into another conversation, but when people ask, is this gluten-free, or can you make this without peanuts, or you, unfortunately those are the people that are paying our bills, and you got to respond to them, and you got to be intelligent, and you got to be humble about it also, because without that humility, we all serve somebody, even the president of the United States. We got to serve. We got to serve our community and our customers. So
no doubt
that's
about
kind
it.
Of my 2 cents on what we're doing here in terms of butchery. You know, the special thing about it is I've been doing it for so damn long that it's nice with the Wagyu and the Kobe coming into the scene for me personally, introduced by Justin and his team at Trex. And he was the first person that got me and his team got me over to Japan. What was it, Justin, about a year and a half ago?
Just about a year and 8 months now.
Yeah, a year and 8 months, but who's counting? It's like when you start dating that girl in high school, you know, we're still counting the days.
Almost 2 years strong now.
Yeah, 6 days, 3 hours, 6 seconds. So anyways, so we've definitely formed a brotherhood around this. Myself, Justin Rushlow, Chef Steve Brown,
yeah.
Chef Jared Montarbo, Chef Jackson Yu, Chef Chad White, and of course
good brother there too,
the illustrious True Cooks, Mr. Chad Minton, is just an amazing man,
another great good brother right there, Chad.
And
Chad's,
I know you guys
interviewed
him a few weeks back, I believe. So
he was on last Monday night. Chad was on, and we did a lot of talking. Man, Chad and I go back a little bit. Actually, Chad's first real public interview was on this very program, actually. And
how about that?
Chad's
he's stellar, and talk about somebody like yourself, you know, he's and people like Jeff and us, when we talk, we put the pieces together, puzzle pieces together, and make one big picture, you know? And
listen, I say all the time, and you know, I've done some stuff in television, and people just don't share information at all in that end of the business. But I'm a big believer in, listen, everybody wants a piece of their pie, but if we all work together, we can make one big one so we all can get some.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was at a party a couple weeks ago, and I had a dear friend of mine and my now business partner, Mr. Cash Fang of the Omakase Group, as well as his my other business partner, Jackson Yu.
He's dropping names everywhere.
I have to, though. I have to, because these guys are spectacular, and these are my men. And we were trying to solve a problem, and Cash came up to me, and he said, you know, Guy, he goes, if you go to a party and there's a puzzle on the table, 1,000 pieces, and there's just two people at that table trying to solve that puzzle, get the 10 or 20 people at the party around that puzzle and give them each 40 or 50 pieces. In 2 hours, that puzzle will be solved. Between those two people, it might take them 3 days.
That's a great point.
it's a really good analogy, and I've been kind of living my life like that, you know, my whole life. But to hear it put like that was really specific, and it's visual too. No pun intended.
That's a good example. That's a really good example right there, man. I love that.
It's a great example. So I really enjoyed that.
And Justin, what about you, man? What's your story?
Well, you know, I kind of grew up in and out of a butcher shop. My dad was a butcher before he became an IT guy. So now I'm on the end of things, the other end, should we say. And my company, or company I work for, Trex.
TeamTrex.com, right?
Yes, sir. And we specialize in taking American proteins, Canadian proteins, and Mexican proteins, and exporting them to countries in Asia. And we also import Wagyu, Kobe beef being one of them. We also source another 12 different brands out of the 500 that are available in Japan. But, you know, I kind of came into this position out of luck. My wife so happened to be working for my boss, Mark's restaurant, and he needed an assistant, and I got hired as the assistant. And my boss at the time, Ronnie, he actually had to go back to Taiwan to take care of some family issues. Right. And so that opened the position for me in sales for import. And my mouthpiece kind of did the rest. And now we fast forward 2 years. When I first started, we had only about 3 different brands. Now we have 13. So, you know, it's been a very interesting 2 years. A lot of learning, a lot of traveling, meeting great people. Obviously, such as Guy, creating this great brotherhood and family. And yeah, I mean, that's the short story.
Man, but whatever happened to Ronnie? You took the man's job. What happened to him?
Well, you know, Ronnie's father kind of had some family or some health issues going on, so he had to move back to Taiwan where he was from to kind of be, you know, he was the oldest son. And so he had to kind of get back into that position and take care of the family company that his family has in Taiwan. So that's what he had to do, but I can't knock him for doing that. And it put me in the position where I'm at today. So I thank him very indirectly for what had happened.
Yeah.
And because, you know, again, I can't say that I would be here if he was still here 2 years ago. So
it's a great thing. And I'm glad you guys are both here. I can't wait. Jeff, do you feel the same way I do? Like right now, after just hearing these two guys talk, especially when Guy starts talking, I feel like it's 4th and 1 on the one. I'm getting the ball, and I'm about to score this touchdown. That's how I feel. I don't know why I feel that way when he talks, but I just
don't know. For some reason, I wanted to smoke a cigar and listen to the Star-Spangled Banner while Guy was talking. He got me so fucking pumped up. I mean, amen, man. Mop the fucking floor.
That's it. Fuck yeah. That's what happens. You got some good brothers talking. Well, listen, let's jump right into it, man. Talk about some beef. Bunch of fellas sitting around having a cocktail talking beef. Sure. I'll start with you, Justin, and then Guy, maybe you can elaborate on it for us. Talk to me about the difference, and I'm going to be very layman here, and we'll get deep here soon, but Kobe and Wagyu, what's the difference, or is there a difference?
There absolutely is a difference. Let me just start by saying Kobe is probably the Nike of beef.
Okay.
If we all know Kobe as well, it was the first Wagyu to be exported out here into the States. Obviously the most expensive beef in the world. It requires a membership to purchase that only an exclusive few, almost like a gentleman's club invite only, to be able to purchase this. And so the difference between Kobe and Wagyu is that Kobe beef is grown, raised in Hyogo Prefecture, which is kind of like saying San Francisco County. So within that prefecture, you have multiple farms, so the cattle have to be grown, killed, and fabricated in the Hyogo Prefecture for it to be authentic Kobe beef. There's only 50,000 Kobe beef cattle in Japan out of the 1.6 million cattle.
That's it.
That's it. And that's why everybody's got this weird A5, you know, requirement. You know, so that's a different story we can get into a little bit later.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there is a complete difference between Kobe beef, Wagyu, and should we say Kobe Snake River, whatever you want to call it, American beef, and obviously Australian beef.
So if you're going to put it in like the simplest terms, Kobe beef means this, Wagyu beef means this.
I would say, like I was saying, Kobe beef is the Nike, and I would say that Wagyu is the Adidas, you know. And to be honest with you, Wagyu is so deep, and again, we could sit here for hours and talk about Wagyu.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna chime in a little bit because you just said, Justin, that Wagyu is deep. The Japanese have taken everything to the next step. If you've ever haven't traveled to Japan, I highly recommend any person in the food business or any culture, anybody interested in culture, to do that. The Japanese, of course, I believe that Justin, you can help me on this, in Yokohama, probably in the 1500s, the first beasts of burden probably reached the mainland Japan. Is that correct? Something like that?
I believe so.
And so anyways, Yokohama being the port city, Japanese beef were only used as beasts of burden up until what, the 1800s, I believe.
Yep.
And then some of the wars started to begin, and they found that the protein from cattle, from steer, was definitely going to energize the fighting force. And then after the kind of those initial battles started fleshing themselves out, no pun intended, the Japanese, like everything, they tuned it in and made it something very special, very ritual, and very, how do you say, I would just say very artful. It's how they do everything, like their writing, like their painting,
it's
like their
like
fashion.
It
is like a religion.
Yeah.
So they're, being that they're Shinto, I believe, am I correct there, Mr. Justin? Shinto religion. Everything is nature-based. So outside of each slaughterhouse that I've visited with Justin in Japan, from southern Japan to the middle portion of Japan, there's a small shrine as you enter the slaughterhouse. And every day offerings are made to the animals that are going to give their life that
day. Wow.
So it's not like an American slaughterhouse, which I've toured a large number in the United States, from California to the Midwest. And it's just a place to go and work and hack some animals up every day. Not saying that that's a bad thing or a good thing, but that's the American way.
Yeah.
In Japan, they take it to next level. And when they sit down, it's almost like, you know, saying grace in America, but they take it to the next level in Japan. And it's basically they're saying to the animal, before they eat the animal, thank you. It's almost Native American, like, you know, thank you for giving your life for me and my family.
Wow.
Thank you for the ability to let me raise you as an animal, and let me take your life, not only to feed my family, but to put finances in my bank to then, you know, pay the bills.
There's a lot of respect. There's a lot of respect there. It's paid to the animal, man.
Super, super respectful.
Yeah, Jeff. Like, have you ever gone and given an offering to the butcher shop or something when you buy some meat?
Well, I pay them.
That works too. Can you guys talk a little bit to the? I mean, listen, you're talking to a bunch of chefs and young culinarians and whatnot in the business, and so
sure.
This is one of those questions that probably people don't really get too in depth about, but I want to. The actual, when it comes to these type of, you know, these animals, the slaughtering process, how does that work? And it's okay to go deep with it. I remember being in culinary school, I had to watch a video for an animal take a bullet in the back of the head out of the complete clear blue. They do it for shock value, but whatever. But what's the process?
Do you want me to talk, Justin?
I'll let the butcher talk about
that. Well, I got to tell you, I've had the same experience as you have, Chef Plum, stateside, with the the bolt to the forehead.
Yeah.
Drop and go and shackle at the ankle, and away they go through the process. So
it almost feels like it becomes so mechanical to the guys doing it. But, you know, if you see it for the first time, it's fucking shocking. You're like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's brutal.
But it is probably the best way. I mean, it's probably the quickest way to do it. I mean, there's no.
It is the quickest way.
Yeah. I mean,
what ends up happening is, I'm going to go kind of backwards and then forwards into the question a little bit about the slaughtering process. Regardless of where it is, you want it to be fast. You guys, all the folks in the food business who've handled red meat, have seen that purple beef that's not that nice red with the marbling. It's almost that purpley color, and it's tough as hell. And that's called a hot kill. And what that means is that animal wasn't killed fast enough, or let's say it wouldn't be humanely enough, but it didn't get hit right. And what happens, just like you and me and everybody, when somebody's about to sucker punch you or whatever, what's going to happen is your adrenaline's up, and all of a sudden, fight or flight, Mother Nature kicks in and then just engorges all your muscles with blood. So you can either fight or run. And what ends up happening is then that affects the quality of the meat. Basically, that animal's shot. No pun intended, but it's garbage after that. So that's where you're going to get, like in the United States on your grading, that's where you're going to get your select beef.
Yeah.
It's that real purpley garbage, and it's tough as hell. Now, we have some very humane practices here in the United States. Very famous woman who I actually had the privilege of meeting and doing a little work with when I was a younger man, Temple Grandin. She wrote a book called Thinking in Pictures. She's autistic. She completely changed the big beef industry in the United States in terms of the way that animals are handled and killed, and to create a more humane product and a faster kill. So, which in turn, there's better yield on the backside. And of course, it's better for the animals. Now in Japan, unlike here, those animals are, you know, they put them in a shed after they bring them from the farm. And there's probably, what do you think, just about 50 or 60 in a pen before they do it?
Depending on the slaughterhouse, anywhere from 40 to 80.
Right.
They're kind of like under a warm bath to kind of relax the muscles. And then they're hand-walked per cattle to the line where they're then dragged into the processing house.
Wow.
And from within the processing house, that's when they're knocked, slit the throat, and then they're hung, and then they're dried. I wouldn't say dried, but they're hung within the cold carcass from, was it 72 hours, mm-hmm. I believe. 3 days, and then they go through, they cut at the fifth and sixth rib grade, mm-hmm. which is different from the sixth and seventh in America. So there, obviously that will create a shorter ribeye and a longer strip loin.
Correct.
And that's why when you'll see some of the Wagyu strip loins, the average pound of these strip loins are 30 pounds. I mean, that's humongous,
that's,
you know.
Big.
But these animals, again, and kind of jump back and forth, these animals compared to American beef average, they're fed over 600 days. You know, and the three key things that separate all Wagyu from every other beef in the world is, number one, genetics, number two, feed, and number three, low stress environment. That's,
well,
the three big things.
You said they slit the throat, Justin. That seems like a very stressful way to end the life, as opposed to the bolt to the brain to end it very quickly. Is that true?
Well, so they do knock it first, and then they slit the throat to drain it.
Okay, so they hit it right in the skull first,
yep.
with that bolt thing, and then they're done.
Correct.
The same process, yep. same exact process. Now, the one thing that Justin touched on when I was asking how many animals was it, you know, 50, 60, 80 animals in that pen, you got to remember these processors in the United States, let's say IBP example in the Midwest, they're processing anywhere from 2 to 4,000 steer, head of cattle a day. And that's at maybe 15 different plants. So do the math, right?
Wow.
30,000 head a day. Let's just say that's minimum. There's probably, I'm way off on those numbers. So anybody, any of you Google scholars out there, please just put your phone down. So anyway, but in Japan, it's, these slaughterhouses are only processing 50 head per day. Some of these processors are only processing 25 to 30 head per week. There's like two, what, of the snow beef, the Hokkaido? Some of them are only, they're what, processing what, 10 a month?
Wow, yeah, that's, man. It?
There's certain, should we say brands, or should we, I don't know if you, however you want to call it out here in the States, brands, that, you know, there's only a certain amount available per month because, you know, sometimes the farms are less than 200 head. You know, the average farm of Wagyu in Japan is less than 500. If you compare that to American farms here in the States, we're talking like 4,000.
That's
right?
It's insane. That's an insane difference.
You know, right.
It's insane.
And Wagyu, all Wagyu from Japan have a traceability program. They're given a 10-digit number, like all human beings here in the United States, what we call Social Security numbers.
Right.
Okay, you can take this identification number, which is given to every cattle, track its lineage, two generations on both sides. So you can track the pedigree of how pure or good of the pedigree this cattle came from. Because again, I mean, how deep do you want to get into this Wagyu? Certain pedigrees are great, certain pedigrees are not so great. I don't like to call certain Wagyu commodity, but in the position that I'm in and the certain Wagyu that I handle, certain Wagyu from my point of view, I'd have to call, I wouldn't say commodity, but commodity, you know, entry-level
sure.
Wagyu. But all Wagyu is special in my personal opinion, because every farm, every person, every cattle, like I said, is there's a process, there's a respect level. Again, they each have their own name, you know, and it's something. There's a, again, Guy can tell you because maybe a little bit more, but when he was out there, there's just something special about the, again, like he was saying earlier, the process. There's a certain feeling, and just, yeah, it's just, again, it's hard to explain from my point of view, mm-hmm. but as Guy was trying to say, there's so much respect from both sides.
Well, talk about the grading process, because I think we all, in culinary school, you learn a little bit about it, and then as you move on in your career, you learn a little bit more about it. And, you know, Jeff, I know you talked a little bit about how you knew some, but then after you had a conversation with these guys, it was like sitting under the learning tree a little bit to learn some more about it, right?
Well, yeah, there's just, you know, he was talking about, you know, A5 to A4 and just, to, you know, what Americans might like. And, you know, Justin, I don't know if you remember our conversation.
Absolutely.
So you talked to Jeff and it was memorable. I don't
know. Well, I mean, I listened to all important parts of the conversation.
There you go.
So you paid attention for about 15 seconds and then you were done.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. 15 minutes.
I have great one-liners. That's my thing.
I'm gonna jump in here real quick before Justin gives the grading scale, basically verbally for the Wagyu and. I like to put a little perspective, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about domestic Wagyu here too and a couple other items and things we're up to. But basically in the United States, there's four grades of beef, and it starts – I'll go from the bottom to the top. And there is no roll, which everybody knows is that stamp, the roll, that purple stamp that everybody thinks that's tattooed on there that says USDA Select, USDA Choice, USDA Prime. No roll means postpartum fit for human consumption. So that means that it was viewed, tested, and looked at, and it says, okay, we can eat it. So I'm not going to say what kind of places use it, but it's used. We've all eaten it before. Trust me.
Wait. You got to say, give me an idea of a place that uses it. Don't you have to say a name by name, but give us an idea, or maybe use a catchphrase.
Well, maybe. Billions served.
Oh, my God. No.
Hey,
really?
I worked at a Ponderosa. I'm pretty sure it was that.
Ponderosa. That was my name when I was a wrestler.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Ponderosa. That sounds like fun. Ponderosa. I like that.
Oh, man. It was a great job.
Wow.
Weird.
So there's your select. And then right above that, I mean, that is no.
So wait,
roll.
Guy, is select and no roll, is that kind of the same, or is?
Yeah,
no
I'm
roll
sorry, I tripped up, but no roll is the lowest of the low. Okay. Then there is select, which
can
is
you
right
get
above.
Some good cuts out of no roll or no?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can if you're making beef jerky, I guess.
Fair enough. Or if you're making a special sauce, lettuce, tomato, cheese,
pink slime,
seed bun.
Exactly, pink slime on a sesame seed bun. Sure,
pink slime is fucking terrible. I want to apologize for Justin for the use of the word pink slime. That's just awful.
That's okay. It's okay. And then above the select is, of course, choice. Now we're getting into the beef.
Yeah.
And then we go into prime. Mm-hmm. And it's always on the marbling. So a lot of people say, what is the grading? And that's where we're going to transition over to the Wagyu, is that it's all about the marbling. It's all about the profile. It's all about the fat. So the more fat, the more flavor. You know, people here in the United States are saying, well, grass-fed this and grass-fed, it's cool, that's fine. But to get that marbling profile, you need to have corns and grains. You know, that quote-unquote corn-fed, kind of like my gut, that's where the fat is. And
well, I think you're seeing here on the East Coast, especially with places where Jeff and I work, where, you know, listen, we work in very wealthy areas, but there's a lot of farms there because people don't mind paying the extra dollar for something delicious. You know, it's actually a good thing. I'm not against that whatsoever because I think it supports a lot of people. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot more of higher quality cuts of beef, higher quality grades of beef, even seeing some Wagyu and stuff show up to where I'm at now. I think it's starting to change a little bit. I think people are kind of not really afraid to start paying a little extra money for it.
Yeah. Which is good. And here on the West Coast, I don't know what the trend is out there, but I'm going to tell you, here in the Bay Area, these millennials, which God bless them all, and they know I love them because I love to take their money, but they've got more money than they know what they're doing with. And as all the people my age also. And they're looking at, they're reaching out, they're looking for quality, and they're looking for something different than their fathers and grandfathers had.
Well, you're seeing more food education, I think, these days. Even things like this stupid radio show we're doing now. It's just people listen to it who they learn a little bit more about food, a little bit more. Next thing you know, they're kind of, starting to ask for it and want to know where they can find Wagyu beef and whatnot. Things like Food Network, as much as I hate it sometimes, I mean, it does. Yep. It's bringing it more to the forefront of our world, so people talk about it more. Well, 20 years ago, nobody talked about it. Dude, I started working in this business in 25 years ago, and nobody talked about food. I did it because it was a job, and I could get girls.
Exactly. Now it's what all the cool kids do, and that's
Now we have tattoos and wear capris and $100 aprons, which drives me crazy. That's a whole other conversation.
I think it's great.
You wore capris when they weren't cool, right?
I love it.
But sorry, man. Continue. I interrupted you. I digressed. I apologize.
No. It's all good. We're good here. But So, anyways, the grading process. It all comes down to fat,
right?
And where there's fat, there's flavor. And
so I told my wife too. I was like, "Stop getting mad at me for having the extra taco. Listen, I'm giving
exactly. You're just adding a little more flavor. That's all there is to it.
Come on and get it, girl."
And then I also say this: never, ever, ever trust a skinny butcher. Okay.
Oh.
That's key. All right.
So never trust a skinny butcher.
Never trust a skinny butcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's truth right there. So anyways, Mr. Justin's going to talk a little bit about the grading. This is pretty interesting. So it's a little bit different, of course, than the American grading, which I wanted to go through to give it a bit of a foundation. So here we go.
But just final thing before, just to top off that American grading system, Justin, just one more second. So you talk about all the different grades, select, choice, no roll, prime. What about when you get into Angus? Is that more of a brand or is that actually a grade of beef now?
Angus is actually a genetic breed of animal. So black Angus. So that is an actual animal.
It's a delicious steak. These are delicious.
It's a great steak. Yeah, so you can buy USDA prime Angus beef.
And unbelievable cuts of beef, but just not even the same level as what we're about to find out now with the Wagyu, right?
Not at all. But I will say this on the American level is that we can, and which we do, in which we do at our shop here is it's in San Francisco at the new shop we're going to be launching here. Can I give a terrible plug here real quick?
You can do whatever you want, dude.
For the butcher shop by the Niku Steakhouse and our new steakhouse, Niku, which is going to be open hopefully November, December this year of 2018.
Very
and
exciting.
We have a whole dry aging program, so which will be featuring USDA prime dry aged Midwestern beef, and we'll also be dry aging Midwestern domestic Imperial Wagyu beef. So that'll what we consider the tomahawks. And just to let you know that there are no bones, no bone in product can come from Japan with beef. So right now it's all boneless. So it's very difficult to age because you need that bone to seal everything in and that extra cap. But there are people out there, and I have with some colleagues have dry aged Wagyu, and it's fun and it's different. But the Japanese would probably flip out if they saw us doing that, because you have to trim all the garbage off the outside. And as you're trimming off that garbage, you're throwing it in the garbage, and the Japanese would like probably run you through if they saw you throwing their prized animal in the garbage can. So
Check it out, you guys. It's awesome. Make sure you follow at Guy the Butcher on Instagram also. And I'm trying to come out there and see this restaurant on my next West Coast trip for sure. Jeff and I are going to come out together, which will be great. He likes to hold hands on the airplane. And, of course, teamtrex.com. Right, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
There you go.
And I think we got a little Instagram on Trex, too. Why don't you throw that out there?
Is there
Mr.
one?
Justin, come on.
Team Trex Corp Inc.
Yeah, at Team Trex Corp Inc. It's very cool.
There you go. Make sure you follow those guys, everyone. Make sure you follow
those.
So, Justin, talk about the grading now, like we just did on the U.S. side of beef. Talk about the grading on the other side of beef.
Sure. So, as Guy was saying, prime is your highest graded American beef, unless you get into American Wagyu, but should we say that there's what we call BMS is beef marbling score.
And that's a chart that goes from 1 through 12. Just to give you an idea, Prime is at a 3.
And wow, okay, so our American highest grade is
American,
a 3.
American Prime's on a 3 BMS score. So A5 is in a whole league of its own. A4 is in a whole league of its own. A3 is in a whole league of its own. And, you know, pretty much, then we get into what we were saying, A4, A3. That's for A standing for, like, the yield grade. And then the highest number of 5, 1 through 5, that's going to be your meat quality grade. So obviously your highest A5 for, you know, yield to meat quality, it will be an A5. But for your highest BMS is going to be a BMS 12. And I believe the ratio marbling to meat is 56%.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Again, A5, real A5 Wagyu is never or cannot be matched like from any American or Australian Wagyu producer, in my honest opinion. Because, again, the three biggest things that separate Wagyu from all other beef is genetics, feed, and low-stress environment, you know? And these are what really make these animals thrive and grow, because every farmer is different. They kind of put their own spin to the Wagyu, you know? Again, there's over 500 brands across Japan. I can't say that I can get my hands on all of them, but, you know, a lot of the famous brands we have access to, kind of thing, but it's a whole nother discussion. But, you know, again, BMS, again, is from 1 through 12, and your prime only goes to a 3. So Wagyu is in a whole league of its own, being in that A5 category and A4 category, you know? Damn. But in my personal opinion, A4 tastes better than A5 because you get more of a meat to fat marbling ratio. You know,
it's like a better chew.
It's not that it's a better chew, because Wagyu is so soft. You know, you can literally cut it with a spoon. It's amazing. It's like butter if you've had real Wagyu. You know, and then a lot of people, and including some chefs here in the States, have that misunderstanding about Kobe beef. They call it Kobe sliders or whatever. You're not paying $16.99 for a Kobe slider if it's real Kobe. That's going to be like $56.99.
Yeah.
You know. It's like a term that the people, you know, people got the champagne thing, you know. It comes from a certain region in France, and it has to be, you know, and then instead it's like sparkling wine versus champagne. That's what Wagyu is.
Okay.
You know, but that Kobe term is used so loosely out here, they just throw it to anything that's American Wagyu, and that's kind of what a lot of people are confused about, you know, and just trying to really educate.
Is it a breed of cow?
Well, Wagyu is a specific breed of cattle. Correct. It's its own breed, like Hereford, you know, all those different
Angus,
kinds
of Angus. Any of those things.
Those are all different breeds.
Uh-huh. You know?
And Wagyu is a specific breed. And some of the genetics back in the 70s and 80s, I don't quote me because I don't know the exact time, but before the Japanese really understood the prize of beef that they had, which we call Wagyu, they were throwing those cattle, not throwing them out, but they were exporting them to different countries. That's how Australia got the genetics. That's how America got the genetics. None of those genetics leave Japan now because it's so prized. You know, every 5 years they hold a Wagyu Olympics and they talk about 9 different categories, which we can talk about too. You know, and they bring all the different Wagyus from across to Japan, and they get graded on 9 different categories.
There's nothing more that I want to see than a cow throwing a javelin at the Wagyu Olympics. Right. That would be the coolest thing ever. Or the cow's doing, like,
see a curling
hurdles.
Steer. Curling.
Curling steers. Hey, listen. So,
well,
Justin,
you think
so
we can get sponsored to go there and
yeah, I think so.
Do commentary?
We should.
Yeah.
I want to commentate for sure. But I want to do commentary under my wrestler named Ponderosa. Hey.
Ponderosa.
So, listen. So when I go to the butcher shop now, if I'm out on the east end of Long Island and working, and I go to this high end butcher shop and everything's super expensive and they have like Wagyu ribeye or Ragu, they call it shell steak, which is just a New York strip, uh-huh. Right? And they do that. They're
right,
bigger
sure.
strips. But I look at it and the marbling that I'm looking at is not what I would picture it to be or what I've seen like on the Team Trek's website. Is that because of the grading, or is it like an American or Australian, or what's the story behind that?
You know, we do encounter that. Some places out here. Again, it could just be.
Is it cheap Wagyu? Like I'm buying it for $60 a pound.
I wouldn't say cheap Wagyu, but I would say like, you know, it could be an American or Australian Wagyu. You know, it depends, because every Wagyu
or any Wagyu that you purchase from us and our suppliers, we're able to give, and here, this is a very interesting thing, is they each have their own birth certificate with the muzzle print, and it comes with the BMS, the BCS, the BSS score. I mean, again, there's a detail. There's the farm, the name, the mother's name, the farmer's name. I mean, I could send you the PDF in a second just to give you an idea, but it's just so beautiful, the product that they offer, and that we're able to have our hands on. Mm-hmm. And being that we get to work with Guy and all the great people here, it's just wonderful. You know, and again, I'm here to help educate people of the difference between Wagyu and Kobe beef, American Wagyu and Kobe Wagyu. You know, there is obviously huge differences between all of these. And again, a lot of people have gotten misinformation
for sure
over the time. Again, to people here in the States only want A5, but we have to understand that there's only 1.6 million cattle of all across Japan. They don't just keep cutting till A5s are done. You know, you have to be a little realistic.
Got to be realistic. Now, so, the one thing from a butcher standpoint, and very good with that, Justin, one thing from a butcher standpoint is when you come in and you're spending $60 a pound, I'm almost positive that you're probably purchasing domestic Wagyu from the Midwest.
Okay.
You have to ask your butcher, and you would know, as of course you've seen the images that Justin's provided, or even on any web search of what Wagyu looks like. So definitely you have to ask the question, because I know what we're charging out here for that same product out here on the West Coast, and we're making margins, and you're talking anywhere from $89.99 to $229 a pound.
Oh my God.
Depending on the cut, from ribeye to filet, and that's from regular Wagyu to Kobe, falls within that whole spectrum. One other thing that Justin, I want him to touch on, or I can touch on for him, is that with the Kobe hot dogs and the misuse of Kobe, there are only right now 860 to 870 people on planet Earth that are actually able to purchase Kobe, is that correct?
Actually, it's less than 700 people.
Yeah,
that actually have these, should we say, memberships? Because first of all, Trex, the company I work for, has to have the membership to be the importer, and then the end user has
and
to.
And you
have,
guys have one, right?
We each have our own membership, should you say?
How do you get a membership? How does that happen? How do you get one?
It's pretty much an invite only, and for over the last 15 years. The Kobe Beef Association has decided to close the actual membership, believe it or not. And it's been closed now for 6 months with an indefinite tag on that.
Wow.
I don't know when they're going to reopen it. But again, some of the certain people that have, you know, access to this is like Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, Cut, or some of the MGM people. Places big in Thailand, obviously Niku, a guy's new restaurant, is going to be is actually already a certified Kobe bird, you know. So again, butcher shop, you know, and it's a very special product. Again, there's only 50,000 Kobe cattle in Japan.
Well, wait, right? I just want to, for chefs and people listening, I want to put a number on that so people understand what that is. So if I called you up, Justin, and I said, hey man, can I grab 16 ounce Kobe ribeyes, right? Just keeping it simple, like just for numbers. What kind of number are we looking at cost-wise to have that done? Not even for shipping and stuff, but just for, what are we talking about meat, like cost-wise, for the meat itself?
For like Kobe itself?
Yeah.
Well, because again, it's going to be well over like $200-$300
for two steaks.
For two steaks.
That's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. For two steaks. I'm sorry. I misheard.
Sorry. Again, like I said, I'm just trying to put it like in a very like, this steak is how much it costs.
Oh, like steaks. It'd probably be like $400.
For the two steaks.
Yeah, for real Kobe beef.
Wow. But the most unbelievable beef ever had, right?
Well, again, it's a personal preference. You know, Wagyu has a lower melting point because of the genetics of that breed. But Kobe is a special breed, and of its own genetics, and that actually has a lower melting point than Wagyu. And just to give you an idea,
Go ahead. You go first.
To give you an idea, if you were to cut this Wagyu in a chill room. It will still be melting as you're putting a blade to it, almost. Yep,
because when your hands touch it, it just starts to melt. The fat
content starts to melt, right?
Fat is so beautiful. It's so silky and it shines. Shit. It's very, it's got luster to it.
Sure.
Yeah, it shines. It's super shiny. And it's the way it coats things, it's really sexy. It's like a KY jelly, but just, I guess you could eat it too, you know. But anyway,
there's nothing
really
sexier in my life right now than Guy the Butcher saying KY jelly. I kind of feel messy after that. I don't know.
You should. Well, when you come out here and we take care of you, trust me, it's going to get messy. So.
Hey, listen, I've been married a long time. I might take you up on that.
All right. That's kind of what I'm – you know what we say in the butcher business? I don't know if you know, but I'm going to tell you now. Now it's on the airwaves is skin is skin, so it's all good, you know?
Oh, my God. I love it.
Deep Plum. See? Not just me.
We're going to have to censor that one out.
Jesus. Listen, when it comes so the steak we're talking about here, this $400 that we're going to get these two ribeyes, when it comes to serving them as a chef, I'm looking at the steak, and all I'm going to do, and I want you guys to tell me if I'm right or wrong, I'm going to get a searing hot pan, I'm going to put a little bit of salt on it, I'm going to sear it in the pan, super quick, sear on one side for 10-15 seconds, flip it, sear the other side,
That's it.
I'm going to finish it with some black pepper, and I'm just going to slice it. That's all I'm going to do to it. I'm not going to do anything else.
That's all you're going to do. So you definitely want to temper it. Definitely want to temper that steak for a good, hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. So it's perfect room temp.
So room temp, but it'll melt, right?
It'll be okay. Trust me, it'll hold up on its own. If you don't touch it, it'll be fine. It's almost like, leaving like a meringue pie out. You know, if you don't touch it, it won't fall apart.
Right.
So definitely the Wagyu is you just leave it alone and then just grab it with your tongs and just fire it up on that cast iron. You'll get a nice crust. You definitely want a crust on the outside. Mm-hmm. And with the fat, it'll get that nice toasty crust on the outside. And it also has a real coconut aroma that comes off of it. The fat is, it's the fat.
The Japanese call that umami.
Umami.
Yeah. Well, generally, gentlemen, I try to end the show about now, but if you guys got a little bit longer, man, I'm going to run long here and keep chatting.
Absolutely. Keep it rolling. We're having fun.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Go ahead, Jeff. Whatever you want. I'll tell you whatever you need.
You know, one thing that we talked about, Justin, that I think was really interesting is some of the offcuts that you were able to get. Because as a chef, that was really cool. It's like, everyone knows kind of about Wagyu or Kobe strip loins or, filet, but maybe not some of the cooler things that you were saying you could get that really got me excited. And I know Guy and you and Steve Brown, right? Chef Steve Brown are doing some really cool things all over the country with that. I just wanted to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, look at Jeff reading my mind. That's exactly where I was going next, dude.
Beautiful.
Again, there's so many different cuts available from Wagyu, from any beef, obviously. The one thing that the Americans like or request, should we say, is the A5 and just the loin set. The loin set would consist of the ribeye, strip loin, tenderloin and rib cap. One thing that we do have access to is all the offcuts, as Chef Jeff was just saying. Chuck roll, uchibara, sotobara, which are your plate sets. We have access to the boneless chuck short ribs, the D rump, the knuckle, shanks, neck. I mean, just all these different things that we have access to that a lot of other people don't really handle out here because, one, the product is so pristine and like, you know, the holy grail of beef, Wagyu, and then, here I am, it's like, $80 chuck roll, you're just like, what the heck, Snake River Farms is probably, obviously a third of that price kind of thing, but, it's just, the secondary cuts are very special and unique, and I'm sure Guy can tell you some more about that because of all the special featured cuts that they use, especially Chef Steve as well. I'll let him hop in here and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the specialty of the cuts, definitely very good on that, Justin. Good segue there. The specialty of all the offcuts is that that's where the magic from a butcher then to the chef is that chefs are just like what Justin just said was in terms of, we all know what a New York is, filet, ribeye, all that. Everybody's used it. It's in all the Instagram posts. everything online. It's in all the food shows. But what about those offcuts? It takes a real chef to actually take an expensive offcut and then turn it into something spectacular. Where you have a chef like out here, Chef Steve Brown at Cosecha, he's been doing that for over 2 years now. So he's kind of the poster boy for taking all the offcuts and making them into just some magic things, from, you know, anywhere from beef jerky to lasagna to, I mean, what's he been doing?
He did the beef bao.
Beef bao.
Beef bao bun, or like a Chinese style bun.
I mean, just all these, and he's revolving it around 9, 12, 22 course meals. Justin and I were just down in
San Diego
at his second anniversary. Yep. We did, what was it, a 12 course?
Nine course.
So spectacular. Just did some beautiful stuff. But that's where the artist comes in, and the butcher can supply, you know, through Justin, the butcher can supply these very expensive offcuts that then can then be made into spectacular and special things, like the boneless chuck short ribs. Like the chuck roll. I mean, the chuck roll, for example, off of a Kobe steer or a Wagyu steer, I've had it cutting steaks off of it where it's like a traditional USDA prime ribeye, just the tenderness after it's
cut. Yeah.
Yeah. So even like shank meat, after a little bit of braising or even sous vide, turns into butter.
Wow.
It's incredible. Rump, same thing. I mean, we've cut, me and this whole crew, guys, we've all sat around and cut up an entire animal with all the different cuts that have come over through importing a whole steer, boneless steer over, and went through each particular piece. And it was like being in Alice in Wonderland. Every corner we turned, we didn't expect what we had in front of us, because we're so used to seeing this super tough cut. Even, you know, the neck, for example, even though it was tough and chewy, it could be broken down and be 10 times better than a normal domestic beef neck would be. The possibilities are endless, and I guess it's another set of tools. It's paint and brushes for the artist in the kitchen to use, and to keep that whole in that nature going with Japanese product. Definitely the chefs in the United States, once they get word of all this, then everybody, that's going to be the new thing. Everybody's going to want to get their hands on some of these offcuts and say, hey, let's play with this for a while, and then they're going to turn it into their into the lexicon of their next mission, you know, whatever hits plate. And that's what's fun.
Man.
It's at least why I like doing it, so.
I love it. We got to bring it out here to the East Coast, that's for sure. And if you do, I got to be a part of this. And if
you're doing it, me and Jeff,
I think we can help out a lot.
Well, let me tell you, not the old plug for Chef Steve Brown, but I will plug him. If you go to at Chef Steve Brown or at Cosecha SD, or if you go to chefstevebrownsd.com, you'll see his set list for what's coming up to the East Coast. I believe he's got some New York dates and some Rhode Island dates that myself and Justin are probably going to be out to. I would believe so.
What are we doing? Let's make this happen.
Yeah,
will definitely be a part of the tour for New York. And if you give me just a minute, I'll give you that exact date.
Yeah, I love it. And we have a lot of good brothers out here who could definitely help whatever you need to make things happen for a meal.
And we've been doing a lot of that, too, is that we just broadcast it, and we have some amazing people show up in the kitchen. And that's where a lot of neat stuff really happens, where people are just, like, blown away. So what do you got there?
It looks like we'll all be out there at the end of August, but the date for the 9-course New York A5 Satsuma Wagyu and Kobe dinner will be August 31st.
Where is that?
That is at.
What's that? What is this? Wait.
Can I click on it?
There is Traveline Wines.
Powers Lake House.
All right. So we can find more information about that.
Yeah, we'll find that. And then the other ones in. We got one in Ontario coming up. Steve Brown does. He's got two there, and one in Newport, Rhode Island, but that one is sold out.
Beautiful area.
Yeah. So that one's that's what I don't – with Chef Matt Voskel and Chef Jake Rojas. That's in Rhode Island. So that's kind of what's coming up there. But if you go to Chef Steve Brown's website, you'll get to see all the tour dates. So
look,
it's pretty
guy,
cool.
Huh? Look at this guy jumping on there.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be going with my my group of partners, Jackson Yu, the Michelin star Jackson Yu, him and I, and one of the another gentleman, Wen, at Omakase. We are going to one of the Four Seasons hotels at the end of this month, and we're going to do a function 5 nights in Bangkok, in Thailand.
Wow.
So we're doing, yeah, so Jackson and Wen are going to be taking care of the sushi and sashimi, and I am going to be doing two or three beef courses revolving Amazing. Around some domestic Wagyu and also some Japanese Wagyu.
Well, just to throw it out there, Jeff and I will be drinking beers in the Hamptons this weekend coming up.
Perfect.
Somewhere, if you guys
could
get down.
That's what we should do. We should blast out there.
I feel like less of a man, Jeff, with these guys telling these amazing stories of this beef and these 9-course dinners, don't you?
Dude, I'm just taking notes, man. I'm just taking notes. These guys, I mean, seriously, it's like it's a lot of information. It's just really, man, blessing to have you guys talk to us. Awesome.
I got a couple of questions I got sent to
you.
We're
blessed.
If you want to,
sure.
I can throw them out to you. And you know, some are a little bit interesting. Some are not. That was really fucked up. Why did I say that? I'm gonna stick with the ones that are interesting. So if you don't hear your question asked, it's because your questions suck balls. Do better next time. Chef Kevin Levine in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Big shout out! That man's working his ass off. He owns a amazing restaurant. He gets voted best chef in Myrtle Beach every year. Italian place. He's killing it down there. Big shout out to Kevin. Much love for your brother. He wanted to know. What do you guys enjoy? Like, what do you guys think is better, wet aging or dry aging?
Oh, Chef Kevin, I definitely would love to answer this for you. So, dry aging is definitely the way to go. That's where you get the funk that you want, not the funk out of the bag when you open the bag and it smells like. Well, I'm not going to say, but yeah, it smells like something you don't want. You know, it's definitely the dry aging process. Wet aging has a place. That's just a nice term, I guess, and no disrespect, a nice term for saying I can keep something in this cryovac bag for 21 days, and after I let it air out for about 4 hours, then I can serve it. Where dry aging, actually, you get the nuances of the bacterias and the molds that are propagated naturally with the natural lactic acid in the beef as it starts to break down over that 21 to that sweet spot, 21 to like 45, 55 days. And what ends up happening is that the lactic acid starts to relax the fibers in the meat and the drying process. And then what ends up happening is you get that real rich, cheesy flavor that goes along with dry aging. I personally think 21 days isn't long enough. Most good restaurants hit it at about the 40 to 45 days. And that's where you get that right amount of funk. You know, a lot of places will do that, 100, 180, 200 days, just to say they can do it, which is cool. It's got a time and a place, but you can only eat a bite or two of it. And that kind of goes back to the Wagyu too, and not in terms of dry aging, but you can only have that super old steaks and Wagyu, the new, you know, not that it's aged, but you can only have like 4 to 6 ounces before you really start to feel it. So, but dry aging, if you keep it in that 40 to 45 day period, you know, you could put down a 16-ounce steak, no problem. So
that's awesome. Yeah. How about that?
I'm down on the dry aging process, though.
That's a good
Nothing
answer.
Wrong with wet aging. You just got to control it. You got to, because it can get funky. And then you just have something that's like rotten eggs. And you don't want that.
And then he sends his second question. And Kevin, you're a good brother, so we'll throw it out there to him. Do you prefer to cut on wood or plastic?
Oh, my gosh, Kevin. Wood, 1,000%. I mean, wood's where it's at. Good old, you know, and I'll give a shout out. Not that they're making my drumsticks for me, but Boost Blocks. A good maple block will any maple block, but a good maple block will.
I'll tell you, you got to check out hotblocks.com. They're making amazing cutting boards, chef made cutting boards for chefs, for culinary people. Hotblocks.com. It's a great cutting board. It's handmade, amazing stuff.
I love it. They're dope.
Yeah. I'm gonna look it up after this. Got to do the hot blocks. I like that.
Hot
yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely.
He does magnet knife inlays on the side to hold your knife so it doesn't fall on the table. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, he does
nice.
A great job.
I'm going to have to check that out.
There you go.
Because you got to remember in our shops, you know, we just have, you know, 10-foot, 15-foot long maple blocks. So they're all laid up, you know, they're not individual blocks. I don't know how big those hot blocks are, but I'm going to check them out.
So all kinds of, you pick anything you wanted.
Yeah, whatever
size.
That's
what I
want
to hear. What I say. I always say the whole shop's for sale. It's everything. That's it. Everybody's got a price.
Me too. I'll sell you my kids if you got enough money. What do you need? All right, so check it out.
Like me, I'm terrible. I love it.
So,
that's a good question, though. That's a very good question.
Wow, how about that? I almost didn't ask that. I'm glad you said it was a good question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Chef Stevie down in Texas, he's a great guy, runs a food truck down there, says he wants to use Wagyu beef. He does like a food truck, then they have like rice bowls and things like that. He wants to use Wagyu beef in some of his rice bowls, but he's afraid that he's going to overcook it on his flat top. Should he even not waste his time?
No, man, it's Chef Stevie. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Chef Stevie, 100%. No, I mean, if you've been chefing, you've been cooking, you know when things are, it's going to take, when you're paying $80 a pound for a off-cut chuck roll, it's going to take you like 3 seconds how to figure not to fuck that up. And 100%, I think it's great. You know, a little salt and pepper on top of your bowl, brush it, you know, even don't feel bad. Like even brushing it, I don't know if you're doing teriyaki or some kind of Japanese or Asian sauce. That's what they do in Japan. You know, they don't cut steaks in Japan. They cut that whole entire animal into little tiny yakiniku strips, shabu shabu, hot pot. It's ridiculous. There is no such thing as a steak in Japan. It blows me away. And when I went over there Justin and I went to a butcher demo over there, and they cut a whole animal into the tiniest, prettiest little pieces. Well, it's totally not the way we do things here, but if Stevie, Chef Stevie, saw how it's done in Japan, they would say, put that stuff right over a bowl, you know, do it to it. And it's not a waste of time. And that's kind of where people like Justin come in, Stevie could take those off cuts and splash them all over that. And he'd have a line just like blasting out.
And here I'll butt in on this, like thin sliced donburi style, right? Like you crack the egg kind of thing. I'm not saying you have to do donburi with the egg, but if you do thin sliced wagyu on the offcuts and you threw it over the rice, and then you put some ponzu sauce or daikon with some ponzu sauce, because that's always how I eat it over rice. I mean, it's to die for, you know, because wagyu has such a very distinct flavor. You can, again, I don't recommend doing anything other than salt and high good, really good quality salt, ponzu and pepper, because anything other than that, you know, you're kind of masking the flavors. I'm not saying that not to do it, but again, just my personal opinion. You know?
Well, first of all, for sure, my next band with Jeff is going to be Dumb Booty. That's our name. That's happening. That's our next band name. I don't know if you guys are in or not, but we can figure something out. Just a whole bunch of chefs. That's the jam right there. Hey, look, check it out. I got Chef Brian coming in from New York. He wants to know, when it comes to cooking steaks, people really enjoy filet mignons, but he finds them boring. Is there a bigger difference with a filet mignon that may be a Wagyu versus a filet mignon that could be a prime or an Angus cut?
So in terms of the difference, and you might have to ask that one more time.
I think he means the flavor, basically, because filet mignon, any of us in the culinary business, it's a boring steak. It's a boring, it doesn't taste anything, it's boring as shit.
Nope.
But, you know, it's kind of like the creme brulee, you know what I mean? Like people love a filet mignon. My wife loves filet mignon. Cool. I can't stand it.
Here's what he wants
to know, is a Wagyu filet mignon different? You know, would it change his mind to get like a Wagyu filet mignon versus a prime or, you know, an Angus filet mignon?
Sure. And so I'm going to say this is, first of all, there's really no difference between what we're used to eating a filet in a Wagyu or a Kobe filet, is that filet, even though I despise filet mignons, that filet the Japanese filet is going to be like out of this world.
Does it have marbling? Because it's not a very used piece of meat. It's not fatness to begin with, right?
It's going to be just as fat as those pictures that you've seen online of a New York or ribeye. They have just as much fat rolling through them. That whole animal from asshole to eyeballs is fat, red and fat. So
I would like a little fatty asshole. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. It's gonna.
Jeff, are you in?
Ring steak. Ring steak out here. Ring
steak. I love a little fatty asshole.
Me too, man. Nothing wrong with that.
It's Cool Omar.
That's the first album from Dumb Booty. It's fatty asshole. It's
fatty asshole.
Sorry, I can't stop.
Fatty asshole.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Booty. That is awesome. That's awesome. I'm already picturing the. I'm gonna do the cover art for that. I'm gonna bend over and smile between my knees for that one.
And just to let you know, Chef Plum, I just tagged you in one of the pictures that's on our Instagram.
It better not be a fatty asshole.
Yeah.
So you can compare that to that fatty asshole.
You can see that fatty asshole right there. It's beautiful.
I'll check it out.
Yes, it's stunning. So, yeah, and the filet, too. You know, going back on filet mignon, you know, that it's the creme de la creme. But, you know, I always look at the filet mignon as a canvas for a really good sauce. Outside of that, you throw the fucking filet away and you lick the sauce off the plate. So,
yeah. Hey, you know, people love it, man. I don't know. I mean, I can't. I've cleaned. I'm sure you cleaned a bunch, too, Guy. But in my lifetime, thousands and thousands of filets.
Oh, God. I mean, I've taken more silver skin off of filets than I would care to tell you. I'm going to tell you that me and filets just don't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just not my thing, man.
This picture of this, you guys have no idea. I'm gonna repost this after the show.
So you got it. Thank you, Justin.
Oh my God, this looks delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, that would change your mind.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
All the cuts on these animals. If I could, I could show you pictures for days of the different cuts and the marbling. And the different breed, like different, not breed, but the different genetics of the different brands that are out there. It's truly amazing because it's an art. It really is an art. And there's a passion that they have that goes behind it.
I mean, there's more fat in this than meat.
Absolutely. Exactly. And that's that A5. But see, that's that A5 ratio. A5 is, you know, 50% meat to fat ratio or higher.
I'm a little turned on right now. Is that weird?
That's good.
It's all right.
That's good. We're used to it. Now we're so used to it, you know, and into it out here. Something we didn't mention to you guys is there's that Wagyu family, and it started with Chef Steve Brown there. But there's a small group of us. How many of us now? What do we got? Four of us? Five of us now? That all we have A5 tattoos.
There's four of us with tattoos.
Yeah, we all got A5 tattoos.
Holy
together.
Shit,
so
you guys are crazy.
We're into this shit, man. Big
I love
time.
It, man. I love it. Hey,
yeah, it's a.
You guys are amazing to talk to, and
I wanted to jump into the gang.
Oh,
tattoo me! Let's do it.
Well,
all you got to do is there's an initiation. I don't want to say it on the airwaves because
fatty
what
asshole.
Ends up, then we'll have a bunch of copycat gangs, and we don't need that shit. You know,
it's like a gentleman's club.
I have to
like
get to Kobe beef guys first. I know. I'm in.
Yeah, no copycats. It's all got to go legit. You know.
Well, I think we got to do some of those dinners out here on the East Coast first, so we can prove ourselves. Right? Is that how it works?
Well, how's this sound? If you guys want, we can set it up. If you guys host, we can get it all figured out, and we can definitely put a team together and get out there and have some fun.
I think we could probably make that happen, Jeff. What do you think?
Yeah. Make it happen, and we'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, what an amazing conversation. I feel like we could go another hour and a half here. We've already been talking for almost 90 minutes, which is crazy.
Well, we're always happy to get back on and do this again because there are we were very focused on, you know, 80% of the time on one particular facet of what's happening in the beef world right now. But we could talk about Kuribota pork. We could talk about dry aging. We could talk about domestic Wagyu. We could talk about chicken. We could do it all. We can talk about it.
Well, I think we 100% need to do a part two for sure to talk about those things.
Happy totally. To do it.
You guys didn't even touch on all like the drunken Wagyu and the snowy Wagyu, and stuff that was really blowing my mind. You know?
Yeah, again, there's so much more that we can talk about.
And just on that alone, right there, those just couple few items you just explained, they're even rarer than what the Nike of beef is, which is Kobe. Those were some of the ones that you just named there, Jeff. Those are the ones that are double the price of Kobe.
Don't worry, you check my Instagram in the next 2 months, you'll be seeing that shit all over.
Drunken Wagyu, there's only three, since it's we'll end, I guess, on this note, but it's a fully integrated farm, the Iwakuni farm, which produces the Takamori Drunken Wagyu, which is an exclusive for our company, but we only get 3 head a month because there's less than 300 head of cattle on this farm.
That's awesome.
What
and that's less than 50,000 cattle in Japan of Kobe, so it's more exclusive than Kobe. Except
no
for
way.
I don't charge you $5,000 membership just to pay for the beef.
Well, hey, speaking of that really quick, Justin, so if people actually want to get some stuff shipped out or get some meat, they can get it from you, right? It's not that hard. You guys make it pretty easy.
Absolutely. You can always reach us at the office. On our website, it should have all of our all the information, or you can always just shoot me an email at justin@teamtrex.com.
Would you get on Instagram, for God's sakes?
Or, you know, you could just shoot me a DM. Don't let my wife know, but it's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Ah, there you go. I sent you a picture already. It's good. It's me and one of the fatty assholes.
I'll make sure I'll open it on the wall.
You ever seen a hula hoop?
I love it.
But yeah, if anybody ever has any questions, they can always call or shoot me an email. Please give me some time to always respond. But if you call me, it will be a quicker answer.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Wow, always. Man. What a great conversation, man. I really have enjoyed this, man. Go, please.
Oh, no. And I was going to say, and if anybody wants to, you know, DM me on Instagram, I am always responsive. I always love, like, reaching out with people who have questions. I'll always respond back. And if people are bold enough to give me their phone number and I'm not too busy or they're not too busy, just ask Chef Jeff. That's how we met. You know, we just started bullshitting, like, no big deal. Let's share some ideas. Let's try to figure it out. Let's make some connections. And, you know, let's have some fun while we're doing it.
Hey, listen, Jeff told me the pictures you sent him to start the whole conversation. I don't know if we want to have everybody getting those. I don't know.
Well, that's all right. You need a magnifying glass for that picture, but that comes in the mail.
Oh, shit, it comes in the mail. Dude, what is even happening? Hey, listen, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time tonight. Seriously, thank you so, so much. What an amazing conversation. We have to have a part two because I feel like there's so much more to even talk about here. It's insane.
Yes. Well, thank you, and we're honored. This is truly an honor. I know we were jerking around a little bit, but I would like to leave you with this, and, you know, you can sign out however you normally do it, but the one thing about the Kobe and the Wagyu beef that I'd like to leave on it is it's an honor to actually be able to handle that product and actually to be part of that lineage and that culture and to treat it with respect and then take that passion and push that over to a customer. And if that customer does not have knowledge, then to give that knowledge and to get feedback. That's the beauty of it, I think.
How about that? What respect for the product, respect for what you do, brother. I couldn't appreciate that more, Jeff. I mean, you want to add anything to it to finish these guys off?
America.
America.
That's fucking deep, dude. I appreciate that. I like how you always throw some heavy thoughts in there. It's amazing.
That was awesome.
No, I know, seriously. I just think that I just want to thank you guys for coming on again. I mean, I feel like I talked to both of you for over an hour, and I learned just as much this time as I did before. I mean,
it's really good brothers.
Yeah, good. Yeah, definitely. Good.
Well, the Wagyu family is extensive, and we're spreading our wings to the East Coast.
And we're looking for new members. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, you let us know. We'll make it happen. We'll be a part of that for sure. No doubt about it.
Let's do this. Let's keep it going.
Don't worry.
Yes.
That's right.
Let's keep the ball rolling.
Hey, listen, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening, man, and we'll talk to you guys on down the road, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, gentlemen. There they go, right there. Guy and of course, my man, Justin. Jeff, what good dudes, man, right?
Awesome. I mean, what a cool podcast. I just really enjoyed the whole conversation, just hearing them. You know, they elaborated on so much stuff that, like, I wasn't even aware of. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
So much info, man. And honestly, I love – one of my favorite things about this show is just making new friends like that. And these guys are hopefully going to fall in that category because much respect for them. Here's the thing that really comes across when you hear those guys talk. They love what they do. They love their product. But more importantly, they respect it and they respect the industry, which I think a lot of people don't quite have yet. You don't earn that respect for this industry overnight or over a couple of years. That respect comes over a long period of time, and both of those gentlemen have that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
I think that old school mentality, and I mean, like he was saying, the whole mop the floor thing he was talking about,
what a great line.
It really stabbed me. I mean, I was like jumping up and down here. I want to interject into everything. So yes.
Well, Jeff, always a pleasure having you on. Thank you for joining me here to co-host on this episode, man, and help me figure out this new Skype stuff and how we're doing here on the new platform. And I got a lot of feedback. It sounds amazing. Everyone was saying it sounds like you guys are in the same room, which is awesome. That's what we want here. But bringing somebody on with me, I think we'll start doing that a little more often. Someone to hang with me. As long as I got a Skype, they can come on and hang and talk to the guests with me. I think that's a fun thing to do, right?
I love it. Yes. I love it.
There we go. All right, Jeff, you're the man, brother. I appreciate your time this evening, man. I'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right, man. Check me. All right, talk to you soon.
There he goes. Right there. There goes the one and only Chef Jeff Perazzi on down the road right there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get a wrap on this program. It's been a long program. It's been a great program. Very excited about this program. So fun to talk to these guys.
I think we're on, and he signed us off, though.
Yeah, they're gone. There you go. Listen, what a great program, man. It really was a lot of fun. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We appreciate that. Really just throw that little rating on there. You don't have to even write anything. Just click that rating star. It makes a big difference for the algorithm here on this program that comes to you for free once a week on a Monday, but maybe more soon coming. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to keep saying that until the end of the summer. Then you'll see what I'm talking about as long as it all plays out. Big shout out to Guy the Butcher. Make sure you follow him at Guy the Butcher on Instagram, and of course follow Team Trex on Instagram. Check out teamtrex.com if you want some beef. Reach out to those boys because they can help you out for that for sure and get it to you. Use Venmo. It's really easy, super incredibly easy. That's what we want, right? We want easy in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you guys next Monday night right here on Pomo Foods Live. Thank you, everyone. See ya.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.